Welcome to Corgi Confident. My name's Alyssa. I am the self-proclaimed Corgi Queen. Let's talk corgis. Hello, Corgi Confident listeners. Today it is Wiggle Butt Wednesday, where we talk all things corgi. And today, we are going to talk about grooming and some grooming tips. So if you didn't already know, corgis are an undercoated breed. It means that they have two coats. So they have the soft undercoat and then the more coarse top coat. And they technically have two large shedding seasons where they blow their coat. That's typically fall and spring. But they do shed year-round. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about just some different grooming tips to help maintain some of that shedding. And to start it off, we are going to talk about the bath and bath time and how to properly clean your corgis. So first things first is obviously you want to shampoo them. And my biggest tip for this is to dilute your shampoo. That is what grooming salons do. They dilute shampoo. They don't use it full strength. And it depends on which shampoo you're using. Typically, it's anywhere from a 10 to 1 ratio, 15 to 1 ratio, or sometimes a 30 to 1 ratio. But either way, you want to dilute your shampoo. And you don't want to start with getting them wet. I don't hose them off first before applying shampoo. When they are dry is when I apply the dilute shampoo, and I scrub them really, really well. And here's a second tip, is you want to shampoo them twice. You want to wash them twice. So after I rinse off the first wash, then I go back again and I shampoo with the second wash. Again, both of the shampoos, though, are dilute. Okay, the next step after that is to use a conditioner. So a lot of people know about dog shampoo, but they don't really know about dog conditioner. And again, with the conditioner, you're going to want to dilute it according to the bottle. Again, the ratios will be the same as the shampoos, the 10 to 1, 15 to 1, or the 30 to 1. And you're going to want to apply the conditioner, again, the dilute conditioner. And you're going to want to let it sit for a couple minutes. Now, while it's sitting, just to help with like pre-grooming a little bit, if you get a slicker brush and just start brushing them, then that'll help get out some of the loose coat that they already have while they're sitting in conditioner. And I like to do that, so I let them sit for about 3 to 5 minutes or so in the conditioner before doing the final rinse. And if you are using conditioner, you want to make sure you rinse them really, really well and make sure that conditioner is fully rinsed out. Okay, so they shouldn't feel soft when you rinse out the conditioner all the way, right? It should almost feel like they don't have conditioner on their hair. That's how you know that it is completely rinsed out, and you really want to make sure it's rinsed out all the way. Now, my favorite brands for a shampoo and conditioner are Chris Christensen, Le Pooch, and Isle of Dogs. So Isle of Dogs is going to be the easiest brand to find. You can find it on Amazon. I believe it's sold in some pet stores as well. So that's probably going to be the easiest one to find, the more accessible one for people to find. Chris Christensen is a more high-end brand that is more affordable. So it's not really as easy to find. There are some Chris Christensen shampoos on Amazon, but most of the times you're going to have to go through their website. And then after that is the Le Pooch shampoo and conditioner. That is spelled L-E-S, by the way. And it's definitely a more expensive brand. It is. But if I remember correctly, their dilution rate is... Nope, I don't remember. Just kidding. But they are more expensive, but you're not using as much. You don't use as much product when you dilute it. So it does last a little bit longer. But one of my favorite things about the Le Pooch brand is that they actually have a male scent. So like a dog cologne kind of a scent. And I don't know, for me that's really fun because, I started off with Maslow, who was a boy dog, and there's a lot of shampoos out there that are very frou-frou-y, very fruity, flowery. And so I liked that he could smell like a man. I don't know. Maybe it's just me that found that really fun. Not necessarily important, but really fun. As something else to help you with this grooming bath time, you can get some leave-in conditioners, some spray-in conditioners. Again, I like to use Chris Christensen has a leave-in conditioner that I really, really like of theirs. So something to look into, and you can get the full concentrated version and then get a spray bottle. That's the easiest way to get the most out of your money, and that's what I prefer to use. So after the bath, next thing is a dryer. Now, I do love blow-drying dogs. It's the easiest way to get out loose coat. However, it is not as easy to get a dog dryer. There are some on Amazon that are decent quality, but you do want to make sure that you're cleaning your dryer regularly. You want to check the filter, make sure it's not clogged with hair and not clogged with any other kind of dust particles. So you do want to make sure you maintain your dryer if you get one. And the other thing with the dryers, although they are a useful tool, it does take some desensitizing, right? Like you got to get your dog used to that loud noise, and the feeling of just air blowing on them can be kind of a weird feeling for them. So there's that thing to look at. And then the dryer also just creates a bigger mess, right? Depending on where you're doing it. If you're doing it like in your bathroom, you're gonna get hair everywhere. If you're doing it outside, maybe it's not that big of a deal, but if you're in your bathroom, just hair all over the place, right? And if you're thinking about doing a dryer for this purpose of helping with the shedding, then I would suggest a dog dryer. Now, you can use a human dryer to dry them, just to make sure the coat is completely dry. And you're going to want to make sure you use it on cold heat. That doesn't make sense. A cold temperature. There you go. You don't want to use any heat at all because you don't want to burn the skin. In general, when you are using a dryer, human or dog, you don't want to sit the dryer in one place for too long. You want to keep moving it around, right? Now, to move on to brushes, and just a quick note here, before you brush your dog, you do want to make sure it's all the way dry. They are all the way dry. So keep that in mind. Now, I have quite a bit of brush recommendations here, and I'm just going to go through how to use each one of them and what they're good for and how they're really going to help you and how to make them work for you and how to use them. So the first brush isn't really a brush, but the first brush is going to be a metal comb. And you can find these on Amazon. Most of these things, if not all of these things that I recommend, you can find on Amazon, which is amazing because I practically live on Amazon and buy everything off of Amazon. Anyways, but a metal comb. And so with the metal combs, you're going to have one side that has like half of the comb is going to have more space in between the twines, and the other side is going to have more narrow space in between the twine. So you'll kind of have two different options to choose from. And I like using this for just an initial brush out. And so what I usually do is start with this side with more space in between the twines and just kind of do a quick brush over. And then I'll go back through on the side with the more narrow space in between the twines just to get kind of what I missed. And so the thought there is that I'm kind of getting all the big, easy stuff with the side that has more space, and then you're going back through and doing a more thorough job with the side that has the more narrow space. And so I particularly like using the metal comb on their butt area, their butt hairs, just because that does tend to get tangled and tends to be more foofy. It's also really great for their neck scruff, just to help get some of that out of there, right? And just to help you get more hair out, you can weave a rubber band in between the twines, and that'll kind of help stick to any loose coat that you're brushing and just get that much more out. I have seen that method and use that method, and it helps quite a bit. Okay, so the first recommendation, metal comb. You can find them on Amazon. The next recommendation I have for you is a long twined flexible slicker brush. Okay, long twined flexible slicker brush. If you search flexible slicker brush on Amazon, you'll find plenty of options. You can get the Safari brand, which is pretty good, or you can get the Artero brand, which I personally believe is a little bit better. But both of those options are affordable. Now, most of them that you get, the two that I recommended are two-sided. So you're going to have one side that's a little bit tougher than the other side. So I like to start with the lighter side and do a brush all over the body with that. And then, much like the comb, flip it over and go back over with the tougher side. And so the long twines help you reach down closer to the root to help pick up the hair. And because it's flexible, it can move with the curves of their body. But you want to make sure not to press down too much, or really at all. You don't want to be too rough with this. You just kind of let the brush do the work. So you don't press at all, you just do the motions, essentially, right? So I like to use this in combination with the comb. So sometimes I'll start with just a quick brush over of the slicker brush, and then I'll go back over with the metal comb and just pick up whatever it left off. Or if I'm spending a lot of time with the slicker brush and just hair keeps coming out, then I'll go through with the metal comb in that spot and see what hair I can get out with that, because sometimes it's just a clump of hair that just isn't coming out, right? Plus, the comb, I can get in there a little bit better because I don't want to use the slicker brush in one place too much, and I don't want to press down too much because I don't want to hurt their skin at all. So I can go and kind of like spot brush more with the metal comb and get that out, and then kind of use the slicker brush to be more of an all-over tool. Okay, so long, twined, flexible, slicker brush. The next tool I'm going to recommend for you guys is an Andis de-shedding tool. Again, you can find it on Amazon. And it pulls out the dead coat. So what I mean is it pulls out the loose coat, the stuff that's already not attached to them anymore. It doesn't cut or anything, it just pulls out the coat that's already dead. And so what you want to do is, again, you're going to want to let the brush do the work, much like with a slicker brush, and you're going to pull the skin taut and then brush. And again, just like with the slicker brush, you don't want to spend too much time in one place. So I kind of just brush there 3 times and then I move to another spot. It's just kind of a good rule of thumb to remember when you're just starting out using this tool. Again, it's just, all of this is just so you don't irritate their skin. No matter what tool you're using, you just want to make sure you move all over the body. So you can always return to a spot. It's not like you have to brush there 3 times and that's it. The point is you want to move all over so you don't work too much in one spot and you don't irritate their skin. So just a nice fluid motion all over the body. And this tool works amazingly well. Like, it will get out all that coat for you. It's amazing. Highly, highly recommend Andis de-shedding tool. I believe the one that's being sold on Amazon right now is their first generation model. It's the white and like lime green colored one. And on Chewy, they sell the black one, and that's their more updated design. I have used both. The black one does work better, but the white and green one still works. It still gets the job done. So Andis de-shedding tool. The next brush for you guys to check out is going to be the Kong Zoom Groom. So this is a rubber curry brush, and this is a great tool for getting off the loose top coat. So it won't get out the undercoat, but it will get off all the top coat, right? So that coarser top part. And I really love this brush also for the bath. It can help you scrub better and kind of get down in there a little bit better than maybe our fingers can. So I actually have a couple of these. So I'll use one in the tub, and that's just my designated Zoom groom for bath time. And then I have one that's my designated brush for grooming time. So I like to use it all together. And so of these five different tools, the method I usually go through first is I go through with the slicker brush very, very first thing and get as much out with the slicker brush as I can. And then I'll go through with the metal comb and kind of do a once over with that. And then I'll use the de-shedding tool and do a little bit more thorough deep cleaning, if you will, and make sure I get all of that out. But I will rotate through all of these things as well. And like I said, the metal comb I'll use on the butt area. I don't use the de-shedding tool on the butt. I just use the metal comb because I want to make sure I'm not using the de-shedding tool on any like loose pieces of skin. So for example, like the elbow, doesn't make sense. The armpit, that's what I was going for. So I don't use it on the armpit at all, so it doesn't get any skin caught in it. So the metal comb I use for the butt, and I only use the metal comb for the butt. And then after I do all that, then I'll top it off with the Zoom groom. And that'll kind of be my final method, is just going back through with the Zoom groom and getting all the hair off there. Now, when I was a bather, sometimes I'd go through with the metal comb just one last time just to make sure I got all the undercoat that I could have. But in general, I would top it off with the Zoom groom. Okay? Now, I want you guys to pay attention here because I did not mention a Furminator. I believe that is a tool that's most often used by a lot of other owners of undercoat breeds. It's advertised, I feel like, most with labs, honestly, but I know of some corgi owners who use it. And I don't use it. I do not own one. I do not use a Furminator. There's your hot take for this episode. I do not use a Furminator. Now, why don't I use a Furminator? So, I had mentioned with the Andes de-shedding tool that it pulls out the dead coat. The Furminator does not do that. The Furminator actually cuts their coat. And if you don't know, you do not want to cut an undercoated breed. You do not want to shave or cut the coat of an undercoated breed. Because although a lot of people think that, oh, you know, they have the hair there, if I shave it, then it'll be cooler. The undercoat helps them maintain their body temperature. So in the winter, it keeps them warm. In the summer, it keeps them cool. As weird as that sounds, it does help them maintain their body temperature. So cutting into that can damage the coat. One, you never know if it's actually going to grow back. It's kind of a Russian roulette game. So it might grow back one time, but the next time it might not. It might grow back the first 20 times you do it, and then when you shave them the 21st time, it doesn't grow back. And so you risk that. You risk the hair potentially not growing back. And sometimes it grows back and it's more coarse and it's not quite the same. So that's something else to think about. But when you cut into that coat, you do mess with their ability to regulate their body temperature. So with the Furminator, they cut the coat, like I mentioned. So it can damage the coat. Their coat is not meant to be cut. They are not poodles. They are not Bichons. They don't have a coat that is meant to be cut. So when you cut it, you can cause damage to it. You can cause damage to them being able to regulate their body temperature. And it really doesn't do what you think it's doing. Like, it's not pulling out the coat, the dead coat. You're just essentially cutting their coat. And so when they shed loose coat, right? So with the andesty shedding tool, you're pulling out all the loose coat that they would be shedding all over the house or apartment or what have you. So don't touch a Furminator. Don't do it. Just don't. Just don't even buy one. It's not worth your money. Honestly, if you don't want to do the de-shedding tool, you can survive just fine with a metal comb and a slicker brush. That's really all you need is a metal comb and a slicker brush. That's all you need for your corgi, really. The Kong Zoom Groom and the andesty shedding tool is just to kind of help you a little bit and bring your grooming up to just one notch higher. But all you need is a metal comb and a long twined flexible slicker brush. But in general, corgis are going to shed, right? There's nothing you can do to stop their shedding. Even if you were to shave them, they're still going to shed. They're just going to shed smaller hairs. So at a certain point, it's not really about getting them to stop shedding, and it's about getting a good vacuum. So at some point, you just kind of have to learn to live with the hair. I think that's my biggest tip for you with my corgi grooming tips is learn to live with the hair, right? I mean, I think they call it corgi glitter, right, for a reason, because it's just all over the place and you can't get rid of it, just like glitter. But this has been your Wiggle Butt Wednesday, all about grooming corgis. Come back next week to hear what other corgi tips I have for you. Have a good one, guys. Corgi Confident is for educational purposes only. Please contact a vet, trainer, groomer, or other pet professional in your area for help. Want more corgi content? Make sure to follow Maslow the Trick Corgi on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And if you have a question, you can email us at corgiconfidentpodcast@gmail.com. This is the Corgi Queen, signing off.